It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being stared at by a big dummy. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. That's the chat room Pip usually haunts and communicates with people, so that might be your better bet, but the audio is better on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joseph. Goodbye, Joseph. That was fantastic. I know. He was here a second ago. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Pip was supposed to be here, but instead she was having fun with filters on Zoom, which you could see on the pre-show, should you wish.
Having fun at the day program.
Yeah, I don't understand knowing what your day program is, how there's overtime, but okay. I mean, you know, it's pretty...
It's customer service. When they come at the last minute, you still have to serve.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be that late for what you do.
Well, you know what? The end of the day tends to pile on, and then I was having a computer issue, and I had to go and report to my boss what I was experiencing, and then, of course, he had to give me a lecture about how the overseers of the company are changing what permissions we have on the computer, which wrecks my work life and wrecks his, too. So that was fun.
Goodbye, Pornhub.
No.
All right, hello, Pornhub.
No, it's just like one of those things where, you know, it's a chain. And other people that are in the chain... We're all using the same software now, and so we're all locked into the same rules that might not make any sense.
I don't know. It's kind of silly. I mean, really, what they should do is they shouldn't let you guys go on any extracurricular sites, because now you can all do that on your phone. I mean, you know, when I was working in offices, there were no smartphones, so you had to do all your gift shopping, all your porn looking, you had to do it on the company's time, on the computer phone. But now we all have phones, so there's really no reason to do it on the computer at work. And really, if you do, shame on you.
Oh, this doesn't have to do with looking at porn or doing shopping or anything else. That's pretty locked down. We don't have time to do that.
There's always time. As one of the stories we talk about later on, we'll tell you. All right, speaking of, on the show, a South Carolina politician wears a Confederate flag shirt while volunteering for minority children. Oopsie daisy. Was it laundry day, sir? A rape victim's DNA is used to charge her with a crime. That story got a lot of press. School of Fools and a teacher's sex tape gets distributed to students and people are outraged. Turbulent air and proximity to porn leads to first class. We will tell you how you could make sure you get upgraded to first class. If there's room, you just have to be willing to watch somebody spank it. An outstanding display of spite involving privacy and neighbors. And scamming scammers, we see what happens where Michelle and fake Davin are after Michelle is unaware of whom America was at war. Actually, America wasn't even at war, but that didn't stop her. Anyway, lots to do. So I got some news. We have a moving day.
Yay! That's amazing.
It most certainly is amazing. That is the word for it. So we are scheduled for them to pack us on March 24th. Although, we've been doing a lot of packing, and I've been going back and forth schlepping because time is money. It's $200 an hour. $200 an hour for the movers. I don't know if that's good or bad.
$200 an hour.
Is that a lot? I don't know.
I don't know. I moved myself. I didn't,
yeah. Well, yeah, I can't move a couch myself. So, you know.
Like I said, I moved myself. I had my buddy Mike help me when I had to move, some desks and stuff like that. So yeah, you need another person eventually.
Yeah. So March 24th is the pack up, and March 25th is get the fuck out. So,
nice.
So I mean, we're still gonna have the place. Still have to get the floors ripped up, painted, get it all. Listen, if I get this on the market by the end of April, I'll be happy at this point. Because it has cost me money to have both these houses, but very excited. It's a little sad. I do love this house, but it's time to go. Time to get the F out.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that it's great to have like a day in mind so that you're working towards a goal.
I think
and
that's
not
important.
Just this amorphous. Oh my God, two mortgages. What do we do? You know.
I think the date is very important. Now, if we could just get those appliances hooked up, that would be nice. But hopefully tomorrow. Of course, it was supposed to be hopefully Sunday, and then hopefully yesterday, and then hopefully today. So that's a little bit of an issue, but it's going to have to get done. Get those appliances. The kitchen floor was put down last week. The brand new couch is coming next Wednesday. Geek Squad is coming to... put the TVs on the wall next Wednesday. So the blinds are being installed on the 31st. I am still dealing with that funk in that freaking room.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
We were there today. We were scrubbing the closet because the closet has like built-in shelves. I don't know what it's made of. It's not wood, but it's like some compressed something. Built-in shelves. And I don't. You guys probably can't see. But on my sleeve, there's still white from like and like it, there was like the tobacco orange was coming off in there. The filthy animal.
Wow. So, in the closet.
In the closet. Ugh. So
with, well, I mean, you know, the closet doors are not completely airtight. That's why you can still hear the screaming. But oh wait, what?
Never mind.
But the smoke and all that nicotine and everything, yeah. That's why people's clothes smell like smoke, too, because their closets, it gets everywhere.
So last week, I don't know, I guess there's these, like, round vents in the ceiling. I don't know if anybody's, like, they look like Cinnabons. They're kind of that way, like, round.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hadn't cleaned them yet. They painted over them. And I'm looking up there. I'm like, oh, it's crap. So I tried to I tried to take off the vents, but I couldn't with the tools I had. I probably need like a really heavy duty power screwdriver so I don't strip the screw. So
yeah.
you just see me standing on a ladder with a screwdriver in between the vents, taking out this drippy fuzz of tobacco and yuck. I'm just sitting there, back. It's like, oh my God.
Oh, that's nightmarish.
You know what? Do you have an idea what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, my mom.
My
mom used to smoke.
Joke.
Like it's my mom used to smoke like a locomotive, and when I had to redo the house, I mean, all the walls were stained with nicotine and stuff like that. I had to use kills on every wall.
Well, these walls have been killed. These walls have been killed. So now, the only thing left, so I was like, I was banging away. I got a ton of stuff out. It's gross. I'm sitting there like an asshole with a screwdriver, because I'm sure that's the tool that you need for it, a screwdriver. Try to scrape and get in between all these nooks and crevices. Of course, it'd be over the bed. So now, I've changed the outlets. I haven't changed the outlets upstairs. Like, we've changed outlets, which has cost us hundreds and hundreds of dollars to change all the outlets in the house, but we haven't done upstairs yet because my wife's friend, he's been very sick and he's in the hospital and everything. He's been doing this gratis, so we're kind of waiting for him. If not, it's going to cost like $15 an outlet to get this done. Plus, we got two ceiling fans. It just adds up. My wife, like, tried twice, like, under his supervision, and she shocked herself. So, really, that's no good. It's like that.
Oh, my God.
It's like a game of operation. You don't touch the sides, but it didn't stop her.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, wait a second. Does it work like electrolysis? Because if she could just aim her legs there, she might have something.
Why? Do you want to? Do you want to squat over my outlet? You're going to scare the stink away and put your own in there?
No, electrolysis. Take the You know, if you're going to get shocked, might as well like take your hair off.
I don't think that's what it was. But it's just like there's still a funk in that room. Now it's gotten less. So right now we got the windows wide open in there. It's supposed to be nice this week, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Hopefully a week of the windows open will usher the stink out. Nobody's ever encountered anything like this because the carpet guy came back yet again and treated. So it's probably not in the carpet. I don't know where it is. The walls have been killed, freshly painted. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. And what a mistake it was.
You just can't kill that funk.
I can't. So my wife was
maybe it's mold somewhere.
It's not mold. It smells stale. That's what it smells like. I guess like stale cigarettes or something like that. But it's just like,
where could it be? I mean, this sounds like one of those Reddit stories about somebody getting spite on someone and leaving something stinky behind in their ex's place. You know, like the old story. I don't know if it's an urban wives' tale of somebody putting shrimp in the hems of the curtains in a house, and it just stunk the place up. I'm like, did they leave some kind of hidden funk to fumigate your house with? Like, why? Why does it smell so bad?
I don't think they did it out of spite.
It smells like stale cigarettes. It's just like. You know, of course it's the master bedroom, which is the really only room that still stinks. I mean, it used to be throughout the house. I mean, we've changed so much stuff that we didn't think we were going to have to change. I mean, it was such a mistake. My wife looked at over 50 houses in the process. That's a lot of friggin' houses. So this,
that's tremendous.
And as we know, there were many houses I would have been fine with. Many houses, sure. I would have been fine with, but I didn't have the final say. So this is the one that makes her happy, and it's a lovely house. Don't get me wrong. So remember, there was one house we looked at, and I couldn't explain it well to you guys, so I had to send you the link. I think Joe described it as some type of like mashup or something. I don't remember what Joe described it as.
Oh, that house. Yeah, it looked like a steak restaurant or something like that.
It was an ancient Cracker Barrel.
No, it wasn't that. It looked like a bunch of houses attached to each other. And it was
but it looked like, you know, those old Russell restaurants where they tried to make them like old-timey, like an old-timey Western town, you know.
Yeah.
There's where the sheriff is. This is a steak hall. Here's the saloon, you know.
And it was on. It was. It was on like a dirt road. It wasn't on a pavement. Like it was a terrible road, and you couldn't even get into the driveway because there was a ditch. And we were considering buying this house at one point because we were desperate. Well, that house sold. The house was listed at $289,000. Remember, it was over 5,000 square feet. They also had pavers inside, like the outside pavers. That was the floor of one of the rooms. There was like a really nice bathroom. I felt a lot of the plumbing was ripped out. So I don't know, but it did sell. So it was listed at $289,000. What do you guys think it sold for?
Probably about $360,000.
$360,000, says Joe.
I was going to say $350,000 because of the land alone.
$351,000. This house was sitting there for months. Nobody made an offer on this house for months. Somehow it goes for $351,000. How? We were going to offer less. We were going to... And like I know people say, well, if you're really handy, you can do it. No. Now that I've seen what's gone into this house, which was not even on the same stratosphere, but how much it costs just to get things up to snuff, there's no way. I mean, and I get what you say about the property, but it's on a god awful road. So I mean, you got to take. It's not like it's the shitty house on a great road and you fix it up, and even if it's the worst house on that road, you're still in a desirable area. Nay. Originally,
the people that might have purchased it
was a bank.
Buy it for the 360,
Yeah.
And then throw another 200 into it, you know, and fix the road, redo the place, you know, so it's, you know.
Joe, they can't fix the road. They can't fix the road. That's the town's responsibility.
It's not a private road. Well, it sounds like shitty house on shitty street.
Shitty house on shitty street. Yeah, I mean, now there was a good amount of property, and you could hear the water, like a river or stream or something.
That's
from
real
the,
nice.
It is nice, but you know, you had to go down like a drop off and woods if you wanted to see it. But
oh,
well, I tell you, talking about shitty roads, Dad. When you come out for the gig on Saturday, I want you to take a good look at the Long Island Expressway. Long Island Expressway is undrivable. It is undrivable. It's awful, and it's been this way for over 3 years. I know we've had the pandemic. Nobody has a truck with asphalt to throw into it. It's awful.
Well, you know what, Joe? If only there was more tolls along those roads, I'm sure they could scratch together some money to fix it. But you guys on Long Island, if only your taxes were a little higher, you guys on Long Island clearly are not paying your fair share.
Yeah, yeah. You'll think of me when you're swerving.
But that is outrageous. That is outrageous when you think about how much it costs you in tolls to get in and out of Long Island, and the property taxes in Long Island, what they pay, that they can't get the main artery in somewhat workable condition over 3 years. It's outrageous.
You got to say, you take a look when you come out, man. It's awful.
Well, Joe, no. It's a yacht club. I'm expecting to get picked up in a yacht. I don't understand. From what I understand, there's plenty of oligarchs who don't have theirs anymore, so send one of those to me.
Yeah, right. No, usually the oligarchs are over in Glen Cove. That's where those guys usually are.
Are we doing a shitty yacht club? I've done shitty yacht clubs before. There's like some really nice yacht clubs, and then you go, oh, this is the one that's doing the comedy fundraiser, the other yacht club.
The other one.
No comment.
All right. Because I've done that on Staten Island a few times, you know. It's like, oh, I'm doing a yacht club. Oh, it looks like an Elks Lodge. Okay.
it's spelled Y-O-T.
Y-O-T?
Yacht club.
Okay. Pip's back, boys and girls. But you know what? At least I could get a word in edgewise. Russ had like 2+ years of energy hyped up in him last week. Russ was uncontrollable. He would not be tamed. I mean, Pips just
he had a lot pent up, I guess.
He did.
I heard the last bit, and I wanted to hear how the Savage Medicine went over. I really did enjoy that he thought that I was that dark.
Yes, I stuck up for you. But I thought you did a very nice job, but it was...
You did a very good job with Savage Medicine, Pep. It was really good.
Yeah, you would say that because you got 7 out of the 8 stories right. You were all up in her. Like he owned you.
He knows me too well, but you know what? You guys pointed out some stuff.
I've also wrote the segment, too, so there's little things you look at in the story as it goes, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys pointed out some logistical faults.
That was Joe.
I picked like a town. I looked at the hospitals in that town. I mean, I really put a lot of effort into it.
I thought you did an excellent job. I'm just saying you didn't fool Joe at all. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I was like, wow, he knows me too well now. I'm gonna have to change up strategies.
It wasn't like, I know what this is. You had to sit and think. And listen to the story and break the story.
We do lots of things where you sit and think, and that doesn't stop you from being wrong. It was quite the impressive.
What kind of which hospital it was? Like, oh, they wouldn't be doing something groundbreaking at that hospital by that name. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
You're right.
And Joe's like, well, you know, the jaws of life, it should really take this amount of time. So that's why.
That too. I was like, how much time do I think they spent on this? Well, there's javelins in the car.
I was in the fence business, and my nephew's an EMT. So between him and his stories and me actually moving pie, I couldn't take, you know, it used to take no more than 20 minutes.
That segment out of the close to 11 years we've been doing this might be the most Joe has ever analyzed and broken down anything on this show. He was all in it. It was impressive.
It was like the forensic investigation of the stories. I'm like, God damn it! He knows how long the jaws of life would
I usually win these games. I didn't play along and try to guess. But when Joe puts up for seven for eight, I'm pretty sure I would have lost that one because I don't think I would have gone seven for eight.
Another thing about last week's show is I had an ally in policy where when we got in a big yelling debate, I could take a cup of coffee and enjoy it and go, yeah, and furthermore, you know.
Yes. It's always
yeah,
fun. It's always fun how when one parent and another non-parent who don't have gay kids expose how gay parents should act. It's always good, but you know what are we going to do? You know, I'm trying to look at it like, well, you know what, you know, you say I don't want to get into it again. All right, anyway, but if you want to hear this segment, it's up. It's part three from last week. You could hear it. I don't need to recap it, but it was a good job by Pip. Better job by Joe. It was quite impressive.
No, very good job by Chip. Very good. She really had good stuff.
Now she better raise the game. And I'll tell you what, mister, you better raise your game now that she knows how you look at things. Next time you put one of these together, because she's got something to prove, too.
I like the way I think. Just watch an orangutan throw his shit and you got me into a peg.
Wait, why are we bringing your act into this? I don't understand.
It's always about ass on this show. Where have you been?
Not ass, act. Anyway. All right. I have an almost used stink. There was a lot of an almost used stink. Kind of like you had last week, as it turned out, Joe. Yeah, you know, you.
I got you. So, yeah, it was a twist. It was an ending. Yeah, all right, gotcha.
Yeah. So my daughter has a Dell laptop that is around 2 years old. We have premium support for it, which means they come to your house to fix it. That's what that means. In that time, this computer has broken 4 times, which is a lot.
Yeah.
It's had a motherboard and hard drive issues, and those are the biggest issues you can have with a computer. So, you know, basically this computer is a lemon. It's a piece of crap. So February 13th, it breaks again. My wife files a claim. She wanted to send the computer directly to Dell, and then they would fix it and send it back. Sometimes that's a lot quicker. They insist on having the tech come to the house. All right. So the new hard drive comes to the house, comes pretty quickly. About a week later, the tech comes to fix the computer. We know the tech because he's been here before. That's how much is when you start to know the Dell technician because your computer is breaking that much, there's a problem.
Yes.
And she needs it for school. You know, it's school time now. She takes the thing to school every day, which is something we never had to worry about. These kids don't even get lockers. They have to carry their books all over the place from class to class. Can you imagine that? Ugh, it's terrible.
Really? They don't have lockers?
Well, they're saying because of COVID, but I don't know. Even the lockers they have are like BS lockers. They're like half the size of the lockers we had. You can't even stuff a nerd in there. It's ridiculous.
You know what's interesting about that? Kids, we never had backpacks. The kids got all the backpacks and stuff. So if you got a small high school, get that shit in there.
Well, a backpack. They all have backpacks.
Yeah. But we didn't have backpacks. I mean, you should give them a bigger one. I mean, we had a bigger line. We didn't have backpacks, you know?
But no, just a and the weird thing is, they don't really even have textbooks, which is mind-blowing. But they have these huge binders that they're carrying around. Like, we all had textbooks. Right. They don't have textbooks anymore. Everything is online, or you know, which I don't like. Because then when they come home and they don't understand something, you can't look in the book and try to figure out what the hell's going on. Which is, you know, what our parents did when we were stuck with stuff.
You're right.
Well, hopefully when she goes to college, because I don't even know if they're using college books. Because we all know what a rip-off college books were. So I wonder if everything is online there.
They were so expensive.
A lot of it, probably.
Ridiculous. And then you want worse shit at the end of the
day. You never got your money back.
Yeah. No. Right.
And, you know, they would change like a couple of words in each chapter and then say it's a new edition. So you had to write brand new ones because it was a new edition. You couldn't buy used textbooks. Fuck you. I hate that.
Believe me, I make myself still read a chapter of Algebra in Action because I'm not letting them fucking win.
I'm getting my money's worth out of this text, and it kills me.
I will stop the show.
Graduated, I'm still watching Algebra in Action because I'm still fucking getting.
Hold on. I will stop the show right now to listen to you solve for why. You have the floor. I want to see this algebra in action myself. Come on, we're waiting. You said you read a chapter. I'm honest with it. When it comes to math, I'm a racist. I don't let the letters and numbers mix. You go to your own corners. But if Joe's such a fan, I'm more than willing to let him have the floor.
Oh, man. All right. I'm so bad at math.
So here's the thing about the tech. He's the only one in like a multi-state area. He's the only one. He's the guy. And he's leaving the company shortly. So he installs the new hard drive. But the
what is he like an old road comic? He wants to get off the road.
No, somebody unlike a road comic, somebody actually offered him a better job. Yeah. Nobody wants us. But so he installs the hard drive, but the drive is corrupt, so it won't work. So the part
they smoking cigars and drinking.
No, that's the lady who lived in my house, Joe.
Is a politician hard drive?
It's a politician hard drive. So they sent us a broken part. Now he's leaving the following week. So the tech is on the phone with the company he works for, which is a third party company. And of course, I want everybody on the phone, because there's going to be multiple people on the phone, Indian accent. Which, it's nothing against Indian people or anything. I'm just going to throw this out there. When you're already annoyed, the last thing you want to do is struggle to understand what the hell is being said to you.
True.
From Mark. My name is Mark.
No, it's not. It's what's on your head, stupid. No. Listen, I said it. What are you going to cancel me from Zoom? I'll be fine. Anyway. No, I don't like the outsourcing. I understand why companies do it. And it's no disrespect to these people. Listen, if they were from India and they're calling me, I'm sure my New York, New Jersey accent is hard to understand. And it'll be frustrating for them. I'm not meaning in a disrespectful way. It's just very hard, especially when it's technical shit and you're not a technical person. So you're trying to follow along and try to figure out what they're saying. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's difficult. Yeah. It's not being racist or anything. It's just matter of fact. At my day program, we occasionally have people who call and their first language is Creole. I cannot understand them through their accent. I just can't. It's the worst, most painful part of the job.
So I tell the guy who our tech is talking to, I've had it with this computer. I say, it's a dud. I want a new computer. He's like, no, we're going to send a new part and the tech will fix it. So now we have to wait until the new part comes and then for the tech to come out. And so this time they're shipping it the part to FedEx where the tech will pick it up as opposed to shipping it directly to us. So days go by and we're not on the scheduled appointment list for the tech, which means he can't come and doesn't have the part. We realize now the tech's last day is Friday. So I call them Thursday night, and we're told the part is shipped, and the tech will fix it tomorrow. I'm not pleased. I tell the Indian on the phone that if this computer is not fixed tomorrow, I want a new computer. He agrees to give me a new computer. Friday rolls around, and we're not on the tech, who we know is call sheet. Because we have his cell phone number and he has ours, the wife and him are like talking all computer bullshit. They're having a gay old time at the dining room table. You know, like I even feel like his tech calls to our house take way longer than other tech calls because they're just
the wife and the tech are talking shop.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like if they walked in and you and I talking comedy. And it's like they're waiting for the fence to get put up. You and I are talking comedy by the fence, and they're sitting around waiting for the fence to get done. That's what's going on.
Well, like when we used to have furniture delivered to my house, and I'm outside, you know, telling war stories with the delivery guys because I was a furniture dispatcher. Yeah.
There's no type of war story like a furniture moving war story. And this one time, the ottoman. Oh my God. It had pillows in it, but I didn't realize. So I bring it up these icy stairs. I maneuver up the icy stairs. The last stair, I slip. I fall down. The ottoman opens up, and all the pillows, which I didn't even know were there, fall all over the dirty driveway.
You could have hung out in the tailgate with us. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Furniture War Stories with Joe Curry, the new podcast, coming to your favorite podcast service.
Furniture War Stories.
It would get listens. There's a podcast for everything. People would listen, and they would love it.
No, because we used to go out when I used to work at Marie Swansea Furniture. Me and my boss would go out.
I like how Joe name drops that shit like it's Gucci, and he was the head designer.
And we would do no fits, which the drivers couldn't get it in during the week. So we would go out maybe work on Saturdays and try to make it fit. And sometimes
no fits,
nothing. Yeah, no fits.
That's what they called it.
No fits. Yeah, no fits.
No fits.
I like how Joe just got like all haughty. He's like, "What? I wasn't moving Raymore and Flanagan stuff." like Joe just like tried to get like all better than us with furniture moving job. That's what Joe just tried to do right there.
Jobs, but not with furniture. All my furniture here is Bob's. Just sneeze a fucking draw falls off. So believe me, I'm not putting out airs.
The drawer falls off. Oh God, that's hilarious.
No. I don't move Bob's furniture. I'm too good for that. Yeah. Ashley furniture. No. Nay. With his pinky up. Joe moves furniture with his pinky up. That's how proper Joe is as a furniture mover.
Ethan Allen all bust.
What? No formal dining room? I dare not come in that abode.
Did you remember that? When I first started, it never really worked, but I go, decorating the house, and people go, "Are you looking for a dramatic living room?" I go, "I'm not coming home to look for drama from my furniture. I'm just an ottoman. Why can't I be an end table?"
That's funny. You know what you add? You know what you add? Go, "Well, listen, I'm looking to sit on the couch, not Shakespeare." Shakespeare's a funny name. You throw Shakespeare in there, it'll work. But it's a funny joke. It's funny.
Yeah. It's good. Oh, why fall off thou an ottoman?
Throw pillow. Where art thou, throw pillow?
To be an ottoman, to have one sheet placed upon your back. I should try that. Bring a bit back out.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? All right. So someone will come out from Friday. We've not got an email from Dell, but they had assured us somebody will come on Friday. When they do come, they send you an email and give you a ballpark of when they'll be there. Well, Friday comes and goes, and we call again. It would now appear there is no tech for our region. Keep in mind, we have the highest level of care package you can get. They say
dude left, and they don't have any other dude.
Yes, although they don't want to admit that.
Oh my God!
Dell, baby, Dell. So they say they're aware, and we should hear something within 24 to 48 hours. So by Monday, of course, we hear nothing, because if we had heard something, we probably wouldn't be doing this bit right now. So I call again. Now keep in mind, I am not the one who generally makes phone calls like this, especially in tech-related stuff. I mean, for this show, I'm the tech person, but for the rest of the world, not really. the wife is head and shoulders above me, the tech person. But you know what? When you need some fangs and an ass, I guess that's me.
Yeah. All right, good cop, bad cop.
Well, I don't know about that. It's just a prick and, oh, she's a nice lady.
Yes.
All right. So I call again. I'm like, listen. And I tell her, I go, this is not your fault. But this is going to be a very bad call for you. Like, I let them know.
It's like my day program. This isn't your fault, but it's your problem.
Yes, yes, yes.
I deal with that all day. Not my fault, but my problem.
I'm sure Pip does in her new career now, too. I'm sure she deals with that type of stuff, too. I know it's not Pip's fault, the stuff that she's doing. She couldn't even answer what the problem is, but she's the one who has to field the phone call.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I go, listen, I need a new computer. Well, the Indian voice says, And each accent is getting harder to understand, by the way.
Oh, God.
They're doing that on purpose. Trying to throw you off the
trail. I'm not giving up. You guys know that. So he says the part shipped. I'm like, that might be the case, but there's no tech to pick it up, and I don't want it anyway. I said, listen, you can listen to the recordings of the conversation because I know they're recorded, and I want the new computer I was promised. I was promised a new computer. I want a new computer. And I said, I don't care if you launch one into space. I don't care if you, with this old computer, I don't care if you launch it into space. I don't care if you use it as target practice. I'm telling this guy, I don't want it. I don't want this old computer anymore. I said, it's garbage. He says he can't give me the new computer. I said, well, you need to escalate it to this to someone who can. Escalate is the key word, by the way. Escalate escalate is when they go, okay, good, this is getting off my plate. That's what it is. Now it's their job not to escalate. They don't want to escalate because really escalation is a little bit of a failure by them. But then again, when you got an asshole like me on the other line, it's best to escalate.
So wait, we've answered the new question, the question of our age. What is the name of a male Karen? It's Davin.
No, not at all. Not at all. A Karen complains about a problem that doesn't exist.
I know.
A Davin solves problems that you people keep on fucking up and need to get fixed immediately. You should welcome a Davin. If there were more Davins, we'd have a lot of things running better, including airlines, which Joe and I have discussed many times on this show.
True.
Listen, when it comes to my hands, I can't fix shit. I admit that. But when it comes to the fuck ups you made, if you listen to me, shit'll get fixed.
You'll get rid-
True.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just kidding. Go on.
He's like, I say I need to escalate, and I say you need to escalate this to someone who can. I go, and then you can tell your workers about the crazy American you had to deal with. That's what I tell them. You know.
Do they laugh?
They're scared. They're
yeah.
Because they haven't dealt with anybody like me. For you guys, this is Tuesday, or for Joe, another road trip where where he's playing one part and I'm playing the other one, and the parts are interchangeable. But you know.
No, but believe me, I'm usually behind the eight ball. I do the same thing. I mean, at the day program, a customer writes back that this price is way off. And I look at it, and I go back to the factory, and I go, yeah, this price is way off. And then, well, that's what the price shows. The price is over 55% more than it was in August. How is it not a problem? So I send it out to my regional, and about maybe 30 minutes later, oh, yeah, look at that. It only went up 4%. People don't look. People don't take the extra step. You actually have to learn to ask questions. And, you know, I wasn't a prick about it. You know, I worked for them, but still, you have to ask questions because people just look at stuff. Well, that's the problem. You don't realize it's 55% more than it was in August? Shit's gone up. Not that much.
Right.
So I tell him, you know, he's like, I understand. He's like, no, this is terrible. Like, I really believe that he's empathetic because I've recapped everything. And the awfulness of this computer and the runaround. And, you know, we're dealing with this for 3 weeks now with the premium care. I mean, you know, thank God we got extra computers here that my daughter can do some stuff on. Thank God. But can you imagine if this is the only computer like a lot of people have? I mean, I'm filled to the brim with laptops. I got laptops running around here. Actually, as a matter of fact, I have a brand new laptop. I'm not using it tonight, but I will be shortly. And you know what that laptop is? Not a fucking Dell. It's an HP. Yeah.
No, you want to know something? You got to go with HP. I got my desktop Dell, and sometimes it cuts out. I mean, the thing's going to be 5 years old already in June. But you know, still, I'm not happy. It's the only screen all in one they had. But my HP, knock on wood, is right next to me that I look at the monitor and stuff like that. And I've had this, Jesus Christ, 6-7 years.
Well, let's see. My main laptop that you guys are on Zoom that I'm looking at, this is a Dell, and this is 7 years old. But I have my diagnostic said there's like a critical hard drive or motherboard issue and a battery issue. So basically, it could go at any time. It's running great, but I can't afford for the thing to die at any time. Now, the computer where I'm broadcasting on the internet with internet radio, That's an HP that's like 15 years old.
Oh, yeah, that one, right.
Yeah. Now, the thing with that one is, you have to, like, finesse where you can plug it in. So the move, it's going to be very interesting if it'll take to the new house. So.
Oh, right.
But,
Acer, I bought an Acer about 4 years ago, and that thing didn't even last, like, 2 years until the thing just stopped working.
Yeah, well, they're crap. But, like, my wife swore by Dell, but then she asked, including the tech who was working at our house, and then a friend of hers who does this, and basically HP and Lenovo. But Lenovo, which is old IBM, is a lot more expensive. So my new computer, by the way, it's not cheap. But that, I'll be using that soon enough, and then probably I'll let.
But HP is better. HP is a lot better.
Well, the thing is about the HP, I don't want to get into all computer talk, but like the HP, my old one, it runs hot, which is a problem. You can't have your computer running hot. But what will probably happen is next time we see Pip, or the time after we see Pip, sometime there, she'll probably be using the computer I'm using right now, which is a bigger screen and a bigger keyboard, and make it easier for her. But we got laptops. But we got to get my daughter a laptop. That's what we got. We got to focus on getting my daughter a laptop. That is the mission.
Yeah.
So he's like, I can have someone call you back within 24 hours. I'm like, no.
Unacceptable.
I go, that's not going to cut it. I go, you need to get me someone who can handle this right now. He's like, okay, and he puts me on hold for a while. And the thing about being on hold when you don't like hearing any music, you wonder, are you still connected? You have to look at the phone, go, all right, I guess I'm still here. I mean, I can't tell you.
Yes, you kind of think they just left me here in deep, darkest space.
It's terrible.
And they're never coming back.
It's terrible. But it is what, you know. So then I get another.
You're like an American astronaut on the International Station wondering, will I ever get home?
He is.
That's like being at a party waiting for the Uber to show up. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm looking at the thing. Oh, good. He's 12,000 miles away. He should be here in a couple of days.
Surge pricing. So then I get another Indian voice, finally. And he's like, the part has shipped. Tells me the part has shipped. And this is the part my wife's like, I'm like, no. She's like, and I'm like, no. She's like, this went on for 5 minutes. You know the way we argue back and forth? We were, no. I am doing this to this guy in India right now.
It's like you got to sit down
and
get one of our fans.
No.
That's what I'm doing. That's exactly how I was doing. That pause. No. He's like trying to talk. And we've all pulled that card on this show from time to time during an argument on this show. But now I'm doing it with tech support.
I can hear it.
He is not pleased. So now he starts raising his voice to me. I'm like, you need to lower your voice. Why are you raising your voice to me? I'm the one with the garbage computer. You're just doing your job. don't you raise your voice to me, because I'm being calm during the whole time. So once again, I need to tell somebody how to do their job properly.
You don't raise your voice to me, the customer.
Right, exactly. What are you doing? You got to maintain your cool. Remember, I haven't cursed at him. I haven't been disparaging to him. I'm just not having the part already shipped story anymore.
He's telling the guy how to argue with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, you mentioned that you got the premium package. Imagine if you got the who gives a shit package.
That's what I was thinking, Joe. The poor schlub. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. This is the premium care? Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I really don't want the go F yourself package, because that really is the worst.
I think they're all the go F yourself package. And you know what's funny? I'm watching TV when I was in Utica or something, and this is all going on, and they have one of the Dell commercials about how they care about customer service. I'm like, I felt like calling the station, go, really? Do they? Stop airing that crap. So
you got to sit there and talk from somebody from India, and you feel like you're negotiating the sale of an ox. You know, you get a fucking computer going.
So he's like, I'm going to escalate this. I'm like, you are the escalation. You're the escalation. He's like, I'm going to escalate. I'm like, wait, so there's a separate escalation from you? Yes. So you get like the main people who answer the phone. They can't do crap for you. Then they give it to their manager, floor manager or section manager, who still can't do crap for you. The only thing they could do is escalate it to somebody who possibly can do something for you. They try to break you, but they don't know who the fuck they're dealing with.
Yeah.
No.
That's like with me with stuff, you know? You don't know. I'm behind the eight ball. I'm just, you want to argue? I'm used to it. Spent 3 hours every Tuesday doing it, you know? So you ain't
Listen, there's a reason why when every countdown competition we have, I know how to fucking argue.
Yeah.
I should have told him, go, no, you're breaking the rules. No, you're wrong on a technicality. No.
Checks have died.
Children been massacred. We can't allow this excuse. So.
Oh my God. So where are you now?
All right. So. Oh. I give the conversation to the wife because I've broken him now. I've broken him. We are finally going to get to where we need to get to. So he is going to send her an email. She is going to respond to that. So then that happens. An Indian woman from Dell calls. An Indian woman. I haven't dealt with a woman. So this is now the escalation department. We've moved on. I beat the boss from the Nimrod tech department. We've gone to the escalation department. I beat the boss. I've handed it over to my wife. Because there should be a long file of...
To your escalation department, right?
Yeah. Yes.
No, Joe. I'm the escalation. Because you could deal with the wife, or you could deal with me. Like I said, I don't usually deal with these phone calls. But when enough's enough, I tag and go, enough of this shit. I can't take it no more. Give me the fucking phone. And I use levity. Like, I tell them, I'm not blaming you for this. This isn't your problem, but here's the issue. And you're going to have to try to fix it. So it's not personal. I'm not screaming at them, but I let them know I'm not pleased. So,
yeah.
And I think that's the way to do it, because I don't think you should abuse these people. They're just another cog in the chain.
Yeah. Well, there was a time with the cable company where my cable went out during a holiday, and he said he couldn't get anybody to fix the cable for 3 days. And I said, you better have somebody here in 5 hours. You got 5 hours to get somebody here.
3 days?
I mean, Joe needed to watch his Me TV. I understand.
Yeah.
That's some horseshit. Oh, my God. No,
so
absolutely not.
So she's like, all right, well, we'll send you a refurb, which is a refurbished machine, which is fine. We just have to find something comparable to it. She's like, you know, normally we don't do this, but we're going to do it now. Yeah, because you realize how much bullshit this is. And you got a long list of some American asshole reading everybody on your little playlist, the fucking Riot Act. That's what's on.
And meanwhile, the tech that's supposed to fix it is in the middle of a good luck party.
Yeah. So the next day or a day or two later, contacts my wife again. Listen, we don't have anything comparable to that in our inventory. So I'm gonna upgrade you. Yeah, I just need you to check the specs, see if you like it and everything. Now it's a little bit heavier, and my daughter wants a lighter machine, but it is what it is. And she's like, listen, it says it's gonna ship in like 10 days. I'm gonna try to expedite it. Within a day or two, the thing showed up. So that's why it's not a complete you stink. So it's just a matter of finally getting to somebody who could do something. And my wife was tickled pink that we were dealing with all these men, and especially in India, but that it was a woman who could finally do something and make it happen. So it was like the queen, and I was just mowing down the pawns. That's what was going down there. But my wife was still good at me. Sometimes she'd go, no.
I always love using that in an argument because people get fucking pissed off when you do that.
Oh yeah, you do. Oh yeah, they do.
No. It's a powerful tool we have here.
Yes.
Use it on ourselves and others.
Yes. Because it's a flurry of no's. You can't get anything in. You were saying fuck you without saying fuck you.
Kinda, yeah, in a nice way.
I used that on one of my meanest, nastiest customers. You said, no. I said, and it's kind of put him back a little bit. I'm like, hell, yeah, a little ammunition your way, motherfucker.
the best is the pause, and then they start to stop. You go, no.
It sounds like you're talking to a bad dog.
Yeah. Yes. You are talking down to them with only one word. You are letting them know that unless they change their complete line of thought and arguing, they will not get anywhere in. Because this has been, you have come to a dead end with, in this case, the part has shipped. Nobody cares about your and it's going to stay at FedEx because there's nobody there to pick it up because you don't have a tech in the region.
You know what the funny thing is, though? Sometimes it's like, from used to being a comic and doing this show, you don't have a censor, or you don't have that sense like a civilian would have. So in an argument, I mean, you're just like fangs and guns in because you don't have a censor. You scold audiences. We scold each other. We scold. So people are like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Well, I beg to differ. I've never called a customer service person a cunt.
Well, good for you.
A cunt. I never called them a cunt. I'll stick my fags.
I didn't do that either. But I had the one guy, and he's like, "My name is Bill." And I go, "Your not name is Bill." I go, "Where am I calling here? I need a guy to come. Why am I calling Delhi? Why am I not talking to somebody in Hop Hog? Fix my fucking TV." It's a holiday.
I got
no TV on a holiday. I got nowhere to go.
Well, they can't help it that you're a hermit. That's not their fault. Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you guys if this is a red flag situation or not. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and she traveled several hours away to go on a first date. I guess somebody she met online in New York City. She rented an Airbnb. They had a late evening date, like 10, 11 o'clock. I don't know what it was. Like 10, 11 o'clock. Late evening date. They part ways, and he does not walk her to the door of where she is staying, so that she has to walk a couple or several blocks in New York City at night, fairly late in the evening. I said, that's a red flag. I go, unless you really like this guy, and she didn't really like him, kind of wishy-washy. I said, unless you really, really like this guy, I would steer clear of him. This is a sign. This guy is not a gentleman.
Well, it depends. If she wanted, I mean, let's say you're doing a couple of times. I've had a couple of female comics that give a lift and stuff like that. I'm not a creep or anything like that. I mind my own business. But they'll always say, "Oh, it's okay to drop me off here." And you get it. Maybe because there's so many creeps out there. Maybe they don't want me to know where they live. I could care less anyway. But maybe it's a protection thing that they do. But if it's
but he didn't offer, Joe.
About it.
But he didn't offer. You have to at least offer. Would you like me to walk you to your door? And then if she says no, the excuse is perfectly valid. But you have to offer.
I would say yeah.
Pip.
Especially with all the, and this is in the city.
Yes.
Yeah, with all the lunatics running around the city nowadays.
Yes.
Matter of fact, not only walk, but grab a police dog and bring that along with you, too.
Pip, what say
he
you?
He fucked up.
What say you?
He fucked up.
Okay. All right, so I gave good advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like that. If that was my date and I was like, meh, and he was like, okay, well, I'll talk to you soon or whatever. And you're not even going to offer to walk me back in the city at late at night to like the doorstep of my Airbnb? Really? You couldn't do that for me? No. He does not understand the real dangers.
Women. But this isn't a 12-year-old boy. This is like a guy I'm guessing in his late 20s.
Yeah, he's a grown-up. He should know better.
Exactly. Yeah, to me, this is an unforgivable sin and does not land you a second date.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Banned.
All right, then the final thing. We're going to talk about this I don't want to get all COVID-y and stuff. But I've always said, at least, you got to follow the science, use your common sense, whatever that says, whether that says there should be a mandate or not be a mandate. You see what's going on and you act accordingly. I've never been like, oh, you need to mask all the time, or, oh, you shouldn't mask at all. I've never been that. I go, well, where's the science? So right now in New York City, and most of the United States, actually, in New York, COVID-19 is declining right now. It's out of control in China, where they have 51 million people on lockdown. So that doesn't bode well for us. But for the time being here, things are somewhat normal. So the mayor of New York City has taken away certain mandates now. Now you could go to sporting events or restaurants or clubs or whatever, and you do not have to be vaccinated. You do not have to show proof of vaccination. You do not have to be masked. That is what's going on. So, which makes sense right now, because, you know, it's a lot easier, I think, to tell people to wear a mask when shit's getting bad, and if you relax it when shit's good. Go, listen, all right, it's going to be good. We're going to keep our eye on the numbers. Let's all get a breather, because this way you're giving people a breather, you know, as opposed to like thinking you're taking away my freedom. Go, okay, things are good right now. Let's live our life. Let's enjoy this. Let's hope for the best. I mean, I see both sides of it, but whatever. So now the one thing that has not changed in New York City is if you work for a private company in New York City, you have to be vaccinated. So a lot of people have lost their jobs over this, which makes no sense because things are way down. When things in January were out of control, I got it. I don't know if it's really right to tell private companies what they have to do, but I got it. But things are way down now. So this has affected Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated. He did get COVID, I believe, in January or so. So he can't get it or give it right now because I think there's about 3 months immunity. I think I got like another week or two of my immunity. But he has not been vaccinated, whatever. So, but he can practice with the Brooklyn Nets, but he can't play with the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn. Now somebody from another team, like from the Cleveland Cavaliers, even if they're not vaccinated, they could play against Brooklyn. And Kyrie Irving can't play in against the New York Knicks because it's still part of New York. But if you're from the LA Lakers, you could play against the Knicks whether you're vaccinated or not. So that's what's been going on, which makes no sense. Then on Sunday,
the famous Simon Says ever.
Yeah. So then on Sunday, take it to the next level. Nets are playing a nationally televised game. Who the hell were they playing? I don't know. Against the Knicks, actually, in Brooklyn. So Kyrie Irving meanders in the second quarter. You know, the TV cameras are following him. Unmasked. Sits down, courtside, front row, around everybody. No mask, because you don't have to wear a mask. He bought his own ticket, but he can't play on the team. And then at the end of the game, he hugs his teammate. But the Nets get fined because he went in the locker room. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
It's getting ridiculous.
And then, I don't know if you heard this today, Joe. Just when you think it can't get more ridiculous, the Daily News reports that unless the Yankees or Mets get vaccinated, they won't be able to play at home. And we all thought, well, that was exempt because they're outside. You know, the outside rules have always been different than the inside rules, even though the outside often look like the inside, if you know what I'm talking about, comedy clubs and restaurants, wink, wink, huddle, huddle, ho. But still, it was always like, well, okay, you're outside. So now Yankees and Mets who are not vaccinated won't be able to play like 90 games, 80 some odd games. What are we doing?
And they just settled this strike and they were able to salvage the season. I mean, they're starting April 7th, which is a week late. I mean,
that's fine.
So yeah, it's getting crazy. It's really getting, the lines are getting very blurred here right now.
It makes no common sense. I understand this is fuzzy science because things are changing, but the guy can't play with his teammates. He can practice with them. And he could sit courtside with everybody else unmasked. And like I said, he had COVID recently. He can't give you COVID again. It just looks so stupid. And like, they're like, well, about the people who lost their jobs. Well, if the jobs are still open, they should give them back. If they're not open, I get it.
Some of them are. I was listening to the radio this morning on the way in, and I forgot what entity it was, but people that were non-vaccinated didn't get vaccinations for religious or medical reasons. They're getting hired back. I forgot what entity it was. You know, because, I mean, you need... People are trying to fill jobs, and you can't sit here and go, oh, rules are right. I got to run a business. I need people. I can't, you know, deal with nonsense like this.
It makes it hard for people like me who try to defend the science, and often that's the side of the left, when you're just, like, totally being ridiculous with shit. And you have to go, oh, that doesn't make sense. What are we doing here? Because it's harder for me to defend it when shit does go, when the numbers do go spiky again. It's hard for me to defend it when you act like a moron when people should be getting a breather right now.
Yeah.
When it's sports, I could see, you know, that if the numbers were still going up, the justification, yeah, you play the sport out on the field, but you're in close contact in locker rooms and traveling together and whatnot. So, I mean, when the numbers are going up, I can understand that. But if it's not sport-wide, it doesn't make any sense
at all. Well, listen to this rule.
Other team can be unvaccinated, but because it's New York team, it doesn't make sense.
Listen to this rule for baseball. So if you're part of the press and you want to go into the locker room, you have to be vaccinated and masked. Okay. Now, if you're a ball player and you're not vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. So the people that can only gain access by vaccination and masks are the ones who still have to wear a mask. It makes no... What are we doing? Can we just have a little bit of common sense? So,
and you know what? And it goes you know, we've been at this 2 years. Now it's like really at the 2 year point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny. Yeah. Dito from Uncle Vinny's posted, he put it on my page. He goes, 2 years ago, Joe Curry, Mitch Fatel, and I sat at the club going, yeah, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
I said, Dino, give it a week, maybe a week and a half.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
wait, before we get a break, I just wanted to say happy birthday to my brother.
Happy birthday, brother.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pimp Helix. Is he listening?
Yes. He's probably listening. Right, happy birthday.
I don't know what he's doing. Like I assume he's just sitting waiting for the wisdom that comes out of our mouths. I got no idea what he's doing. Fucking relax over there.
I wasn't being...
No.
Hey, check this out. I'm on our page, and you scroll down, and it shows the Fat Horse Challenge. And seeing how everything we did with the Fat Horse, what I had to go through, I weighed myself. I'm actually 208 pounds. I haven't been down to 208 in literally 25 years.
That's great.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
I have no appetite anymore. I don't have the appetite I used to, so yeah.
Well, what are you listening? Are you listening to more of your sets?
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, well, you guys try to throw a little dig in there. I didn't fall.
Yeah, fell right into my trap. Fell right for it, Sonny boy.
Yeah, look at you with a little badge on your shirt there. What's that little badge for?
Garden State Parkway.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Well,
hold on. I'm sorry. Garden State Parkway.
Hold on, right now, I will explain that, but this is what, oh, I don't think the show should go more than 3 hours, twice, I've tried to take us to break, and you guys have stopped me.
It's called interaction, stupid. You want us to sit here like lemmings?
No, but that's fine, and I tell you that's fine all the time, but don't blame me when shit goes long.
Garden State Parkway shirt, where the hell did you get that?
I did a private event. For somebody who works for the Garden State Parkway, as a toll guy, they gave me a cash tip and this shirt, and it's a pretty sweet shirt. I like the shirt.
All right,
I like it.
Good. All right.
Any other questions, or can I take a break?
No, you take a break.
Thank you. I appreciate your permission. All right. Jesus Christ. On the break, we have a new music from Charles and Carmichael with Guarding Light. And we also have new music from Fawo, F-A-W-O, with Call Me. And you can learn both about both them at khb-music.de. When we come back, we'll talk about a politician who, like me, had something on his shirt, but not quite the same thing. So he got in trouble for that. And we'll talk about, this is a serious topic, the woman with the rape kit that had her DNA used against her in another crime. And the teacher who's... sex tape got released to students, and all sorts of fun stuff. Well, I don't know if that's fun. But all right, so yeah. stick.